to the latest edition of You, Me, and Web3, the podcast brought to you by the Web3 tech company Forge. If you're a new listener, then where have you been? To briefly summarize, this is the Web3 podcast without all the noise and jargon, and where we speak to industry leaders about a whole host of interesting topics. So, what I'd strongly recommend from here is that after listening to this episode, go back and check out some of our earlier releases and hear some of the great people we've had on. You can find the You, Me, and Web3 podcast in all the usual podcast places. Back to today then, and it's a real delight to welcome Sebastian Bourget onto the You, Me, and Web3 podcast, a gentleman that needs very little introduction. But Seb, for those that might need bringing up to speed with your career so far, can you give them a quick whistle-stop tour, please?
Absolutely. So my name is Sébastien Bourget. I'm the COO and co-founder at The Sandbox, as well as the president of the Blockchain Game Alliance. I'm 38 years old. I graduated from an engineering school. And since 2007, so it's over 16 years now, I've been an entrepreneur together with my business partner, Arturo Madrid, co-founder and CEO. We created three companies before. We had two exits, always in the space of new technology. The first one was in peer-to-peer technology to help video on demand, sports event, website to share HD video and save on their bandwidth cost. Got acquired by a CDN network. The second was more about like people uploading their photo, video, and music in the cloud and sharing them with their friends. It was a Web2 startup that was acquired as well. And the third was like a mobile game studio, one of the first in like free-to-play and working with IP games, and from which the Sandbox originally came from.
Thank you, Seb. And for our listeners that may not know about the Sandbox as well, how would you describe it in as short and as simple a way as possible?
Well, Sandbox is really this like decentralized virtual world where anyone can make 3D content as well as any sort of experiences that you can access with an avatar, that 3D character that becomes your new digital identity. Those experiences are more social, more fun, more immersive. And unlike what we've seen before, like your avatar, as well as everything you created or you bought, belongs to you truly. And you can use it not only in Sandbox, but also in the myriad of virtual worlds and platform beyond Sandbox. And you can share it with all users. You can sell it on Marketplace if you want. So it's really a platform where creators are being empowered. The content they make is theirs. They can monetize it the way they want. And they can access like all sorts of experiences that go beyond Sandbox and contribute to build this open metaverse vision.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed for that. What do you think then is the typical journey for players joining the Sandbox? How do they tend to find out about you? And perhaps more importantly, why do they jump in?
So that's a great question. Like Sandbox, our mission has really been to empower anyone to become a creator through our tools, Voxelit, our 3D editor and game maker on no code, so that we make content creation as accessible as possible. You don't need to learn programming. It's almost like digital Legos, very intuitive, very simple. And we want those creators to not only own what they make, but be able to monetize it and enjoy it within the context of a virtual world. So that makes that the core community of Sandbox is first creators. Then came landowners, as we expanded Sandbox to have this finite map of 164 land. And then came the fans from the brands, as like brands participated into land sales, they developed their neighborhood, they had people become their virtual neighbors on this map. And from the brands, the fans came, so fans of like music artists like Snoop Dogg or Steve Aoki or Blondish, or like music brand like Warner Music, or sport brand like Adidas, or gaming brand like Ubisoft, Atari, or brands from many regions of the world, as Sandbox is also like this global digital nation with present in Korea with Cavers, in Japan with local brands like Captain Tsubasa, Shibuya 109, or in Turkey as well. So it's really exciting at the end of the day to have such a cosmopolite audience with diverse background from many different countries. Our ecosystem is counts more than 200 studios in 30 countries and 4 continents. And we want to build a metaverse that's as inclusive as possible to the people, no matter their origin, their background, their ethnicity, their sex, and more.
In Animoca Brands and our family, we often talk about the open metaverse, and I know it's a phrase that yourself and Yatsu use a lot. What exactly is the vision for the open metaverse? And Seb, if you can, explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old.
Well, the open metaverse is really the idea that you are an avatar. You access with an avatar like many worlds across multiple games or platforms, not just one. And you can take that avatar and all the content you bought for it or you created with you, and you move in a seamless manner from one world to another without having to ask the permission to anyone. In the physical world, it's very natural. Like, we move between cities, we move between countries, and maybe sometimes we just need a passport at the borders. But for example, within Europe, we can move across all the states, in the US as well. But online, if we play Roblox, or if we play Fortnite, or if we're on Facebook, actually, we cannot move. Like, we cannot take our identity, all the content that we played, everything that we earn as we played, all of that is actually locked on one platform, and you cannot take it with you on another. That the idea of the open metaverse is to facilitate, enable standards and the technology underlying, thanks to blockchain, so that users can move seamlessly and enjoy those different experiences while they keep and retain all their digital assets with them.
Brilliant. And what would you say is the best way to onboard these millions of new users to the metaverse, the sandbox, specifically, I guess, those ones without a Web3 background?
I think, like, first of all, you shouldn't have to worry about, like, technology. Like, again, like, it should be a seamless experience, and it should be very friendly, fun. Like, you want to come back to there, like, you want to be exploring and discovering experiences that are social and fun. And we want to empower anyone to become a creator. So you should feel like you can accomplish extraordinary things in the metaverse. And well, ultimately, you feel it's a place where you can make new friends, both from like other people and the avatars, but also like from the brands that bring the culture and that you're familiar with. And that for the first time, you can own digital asset from to use yourself to take and mix and remix your own adventures and stories online. I kind of feel like that's how metaverse people should perceive the metaverse. And the simplest way to get into the metaverse is just to create an avatar. It's free, and it's the way to get started and explore those new worlds.
Who are the people using the sandbox then, Seb? What's the demographic? Can you give us any more sort of insight around that?
Well, I think that community is essential. It is like the core in Web3. Like, we very often, like we say, what differentiates Web3 from Web1? Web1 is like everyone consumes the information in read-only mode, and there's very few people who contribute. Web2 is the area of user contribution on internet, read and write. But ultimately, all the content people contribute isn't the property of the users. It's owned and controlled by mega platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, who use those to monetize yourself as a product. Web3 is user-centric, community-driven. All the data you contribute is yours. You use it across many other applications. You monetize it the way you want. And so that makes community members become stakeholders, active participants in the way that those decentralized products and services are being run, because ultimately they own the content, they own the asset, and they could even vote like participate in the governance or decide like to go to take their asset away and stop participating, have to voice their concern in case like the development or the roadmap or the decision is not aligned with their interest as stakeholder of the success of the project.
We often hear about brands entering the metaverse, for example, Adidas, Walmart, Universal Records, Samsung, to name just a few, and they've all had quite popular activations in multiple metaverses. What do you think makes a great brand activation in the metaverse? And can you provide us, if you can, with a couple of examples?
Absolutely. So I do feel like a successful brand activation first starts from like a experimentation. Like, we don't know yet what are like the key success of metrics or what will be the ultimate model. But if your brand is not aligned with an idea of like, we want to be creative, we want to experiment with this new space, and we are opening ourselves to understand the culture that define Web3 and even the subculture of certain communities of Web3, because like Web3 is this myriad of worlds and communities, we're not going to be successful in this space. So it's all about like openness, creativity, rewarding the user for their time. Like, they are going to spend time and engage themselves in the community, so you should reward them in the form of NFTs or token or services that they consider is valuable. And it's all as well about like not trying to just replicate the physical world or what you have existing in other platforms. Like, we have the chance that metaverse and virtual worlds is a provide a new form of entertainment, where a new form of expression, a new format basically, and you can co-create your presence with your community, those users who are your stakeholders. You should leverage that sense to redefine, reinvent yourself there with your community, not try to do like we've seen before 25 years ago with Second Life, create a virtual building branch of your same as the real world. There's no value add for users. Users want to be engaged, users want to participate, specifically Gen Z, like 75% of them, they want to be active contributor, not passive, as they engage with brands. And successful experiences that launch in Sandbox, we've seen already many of them. One I'm thinking about is Ledger, for example, who was able to engage their community into explaining the principle of security, making them complete quest and learn those in through their 3D avatar. They completed 4.9 million quests. They engaged for more than 30 minutes on average in space. Achieving such kind of like engagement metrics on traditional social media is almost impossible or will cost millions of dollars. We have other brands successful as well, like Warner Music or Paris Hilton or Snoop Dogg as well, who launched avatar collection of themselves and built their community playing. I could talk for hours, but I think like we're busy, limited on time.
No, it's great listening. Okay. But the follow-up to that, Seb, I guess, is what's the attraction then for these brands, some of the people you mentioned there, Snoop Dogg, etc.?
So I think like we're getting amazing traction in terms of like how they are engaging these fans even more. And you know, very often you say like brands, they don't necessarily need millions of followers. They need a few thousand very engaged fans. And that's what Web3 represents, like fans who feel like they are being heard, they are being engaged, they are being listened, and then can contribute meaningfully. They bring so much more value in both ways. We're seeing like fans of Snoop Dogg are engaging through participating with the avatar, exploring, completing quests, exploring experience, earning rewards. They had access to special IRL activation as well by being an NFT holder. I think that's something like we do well in Sandbox to bring fans and artists more closer, both virtually, where you could visit his house, his mansion, his compound, and there will be more coming with his virtual concert and new content collections. He also launched a music clip and a new song inspired by Sandbox. He's launched So in a way that like he's been leveraging this format as well as part of his own art and expression, and that's amazing.
On the flip side to all this, of course, we've seen some key players such as Meta and Disney cut jobs, positions in recent months. Do you think this is damaging for the industry as a whole, Seb? And do you think this is a long-term trend or simply a temporary response?
I think like really, and that's something that we're really excited about, is like the metaverse is actively building, and the activity on the metaverse is not necessarily correlated with the general tech market or crypto right. market.
Okay.
Like every week, new brands are oncoming, buying lands, announcing partnership, developing their presence, engaging. We're seeing like the ecosystem at Sandbox is growing with more and more studio and agencies being onboarded, and that helps those brands to create new type of experiences and players coming and participating in those events where they are spending time and engaging as well. All of that is coming, and it's not really related to certain hype cycle. And that, okay. What excites me is like when I think about our community of landowners, we have 23,500 landowners. Mm-hmm. They have been holding for their lands for more than a year, and it's way above like the average we're seeing in the industry for any other NFT holder. And why? Because there's immediate utility. People with an avatar can use it right straight in as they play. They can like see and use their land to build an experience that make it accessible to other users and eventually monetize it. So there is definitely many use cases and utility behind that drive this kind of engagement and show that, well, it doesn't matter like markets. When you're building content, you're thinking sure. community, you're thinking engagement.
We always like to end the podcast with a prediction, and today will be no different, Seb. And it's a bit of a far-reaching one, so it'll be interesting to see what you think. But what is your prediction for the Sandbox metaverse over the next, say, 12 to 18 months?
Well, we're very focused at Sandbox around like on the tech and the product first. So we always see Sandbox as three pillar, like product, content, and ecosystem. We think we're doing great in content and ecosystem. It's growing, more brands are coming, more studios and agencies, 200 already around the world. And product is our key focus. Like, how do we keep improving VoxEdit, our creator and game maker, to add more social, more multiplayer gameplay, more possibilities so we have richer experiences and more diversity of content from the creators? And we'll enable by end of Q3 this year, self-publishing. So it will mean like really the opening of Sandbox platform. So many landowners will be publishing to their community, their experience, and it will create hopefully a lot of excitement as more and more users will come in and explore and stay as well from one experience to another.
Seb, it's been wonderful to have you on. Can we get you back on later on in the series to perhaps revisit this prediction and invite you back on for your thoughts?
Absolutely. Like any time. I'd love to share some updates about what's been ongoing and more. Yeah.
Seb, thank you very much indeed for your time. Really appreciate it.
Sounds good. Have a great day. See you in the metaverse, everyone. Bye-bye.
So a big thank you again to Sebastian Bourget from The Sandbox for providing, I'm sure you'll agree, some wonderful insights and a glimpse of what we might see over the next year or so. You're in for a double treat this week as well, because on Friday we'll release another podcast, this time with Dan Beasley from Web3 gaming platform and fellow Animoca Brands company Vika. Dan will be talking about some classic games and how you might be able to get involved as well. Thanks once again for listening, and don't forget to check out some of our excellent earlier episodes that you may have missed. Until next time, take care.